Chapter 16. Lexi shuffled around the pastries in the bakery case as she watched Nans, Ida, and Helen sitting nervously at one of the cafe tables. Ruth was out in the back parking lot, sitting in her antique Oldsmobile with the motor running. The plan was that as soon as the two suspects appeared in the shop, the rest of them would hop into Ruth's car so they could be ready to follow them. Lexi brought a tray of cannoli to the table. "Take some of these and stop staring out the window. You guys look suspicious."
"Oh, sorry, dear."
Nans turned away from the window and sipped her tea.
"You're right. We'll just sit here and nibble, just like any other day."
"They probably won't even come in today." Lexi's voice stuck in her throat. The two men were crossing the street, heading straight for the bakery.
"It's them."
Four gray heads swiveled to stare out the window, and Lexi bolted for the back room.
"Cassie, those guys are here. I gotta go."
Cassie went out front, while Lexi motioned for Nans and the others to follow her out the back. She told Cassie the whole story the night before, and Cassie had agreed to stall the men to give Lexi and the ladies time to get in position. Lexi's eyes narrowed when she saw Ruth behind the wheel of the big blue car. Her head barely reached over the steering wheel. Lexi jerked open the driver's side door.
"Maybe I should drive, in case it gets hairy."
Ruth wrinkled her brow at Lexi.
"I can handle this car, Lexi." "No time to argue, just let her drive," Nan said, sliding into the back seat behind Ida and Helen.
Ruth reluctantly pushed over, and Lexi took the wheel, gliding the car out of the parking lot and onto the street where she slid it into a parking spot.
"They're still inside," Nan said. "Helen, get some photos of them."
"Are those the men that knocked you out, Ruth?" Ida asked.
Ruth squinted toward the bakery, her lips pursed in a thin line.
"Yes, I think they are."
Lexi looked over her shoulder and noticed Helen was wearing the spy camera glasses the ladies had bought on the internet. They looked like regular eyeglasses, but had a teeny camera in them, which was perfect for taking pictures without anyone knowing. They'd come in handy on a couple of cases already. Inside the bakery, Cassie was ringing up the sale. Lexi saw her putting several brownies in a white bag, which she handed to the suspects. She put the car in drive while she watched them come out of the store and cross the street, walking up a few cars to a black SUV with tinted windows.
"Is that their car?" Nans asked. "How predictable. Bad guys with a black car that has dark tinted windows. Helen, get a picture of the car and license plate."
They pulled out onto the street, and Lexi maneuvered out behind them into the light mid-morning traffic.
"Stay several car lengths away," Ida said. "We don't want them to know they have a tail," Nans added. "Once we get past the downtown area, try to stay at least two blocks away."
Lexi rolled her eyes. She knew how to follow someone. She'd seen it done on TV dozens of times. She kept her distance as they wound their way through town, then out to the suburbs. As they got further away from downtown, the traffic got lighter and lighter, and Lexi had to fall further behind so they wouldn't be noticed.
"This thing rides nice. You keep it in great condition," Lexi said.
Driving the car was like driving a yacht. It sailed down the road and gave a smooth ride. Even though the car was 25 years old, it looked brand new. It even had the new car smell to it.
"Thanks," Ruth said. "My Leo bought it brand new. He always kept it up nice. I don't drive it very much anymore since he passed."
Lexi nodded. Ruth's husband had passed 20 years ago, which explained the pristine condition and low mileage.
"Where the heck are they going?" Helen asked.
Lexi felt the uncomfortable flutter of butterflies in her stomach as she followed the black SUV into one of the remote areas of town. Where were they going? I'm not sure. All that is out here is that old applesauce plant that's been shut down for years. And that's exactly where they were going. Lexi felt a moment of panic when the SUV turned into the complex. What should I do?
Drive past. You don't want them to see you. Follow them in. We'll double back and sneak in later.
Lexi took Nance's advice and drove past the entrance, continuing on about a half mile before pulling into a dirt turnoff. She twisted in her seat to look at Nance.
Do you really think we should go in there? It looked dangerous and scary.
Of course. We want to find out what they're up to, right?
I guess.
Lexi pointed the car back toward the applesauce factory, her heartbeat picking up speed the closer she got. The factory was a massive hulk of rusting metal. The remains of two silos stood at one end, with a low concrete block building at the other. In between were rows of round concrete structures that stood about 7 feet tall, interspersed with twisted metal pieces. Remains of the processing plant, Lexi guessed. Lexi's stomach did a somersault when she saw the SUV on the other side of the concrete structures, and she stopped the car. Brax's warning about Nunzio's murder being an execution echoed in her head.
There they are, over there.
She pointed to a space in between two of the concrete pieces where you could just make out the tail end of the car. Nance twisted around in her seat.
See those bushes over there?
She pointed to an overgrown area loaded with tall bushes at the far end of the lot. Lexi nodded.
Head over there and park behind them. I think that will hide us from view.
Lexi headed over, taking a route out of the line of vision of the SUV. She pulled in behind the bushes, and Nance jumped out, heading for a small space in between two shrubs. Helen produced a pair of binoculars from her purse and followed Nance, with Ruth, Ida, and Lexi close behind.
Yep, it's them all right.
Helen pulled the binoculars away from her face and handed them to Nance.
Yep.
Nance passed them to Ruth.
He's even eating one of the brownies.
Ruth passed them to Ida.
Chocolate frosted. He's got some on his lip,
Ida said, passing the binoculars to Lexi. Lexi could see the two men just fine, without binoculars. They were standing beside the SUV as if they were waiting for someone. The tall, skinny one held the bag of brownies in his hand. The large one was stuffing the second half of a brownie in his mouth, which was smudged with frosting.
What are they doing?
Ida asked, holding her hand out for the binoculars.
Looks like they are waiting for someone.
Nance pushed her head further through the bushes and squinted.
I think you're right.
Helen pointed toward the road, where a black, mid-sized car had turned into the entrance to the factory.
What is it with the black cars?
Ruth asked. And the tinted windows, Lexi said. The car had a dark tint on the windows, making it impossible to see who was inside. The five of them watched in silence as the car pulled to a stop beside the two brownie-eating thugs. Lexi held her breath as the driver's side door opened. A long, bare leg appeared outside the door. A woman's leg, ending in an expensive pair of Jimmy Choo stilettos with a metal heel. The woman belonging to the leg slithered out of the car, and Lexi felt her heart jerk in her chest.
Simone!
Shh!
Nance waved her hand, but she needn't have worried. They were too far away to be heard. Lexi watched as Simone approached the two men. She pointed to her mouth, and the big thug wiped the brownie smudge off his lips. Lexi couldn't make out what she was saying, but judging from the way her hands were gesturing wildly in the air, She wasn't happy. Finally, she stormed off in the direction of a concrete building, the two men following on her heels.
Did you get pictures of that? Lexi asked Helen.
I sure did.
Lexi pulled out her cell phone.
What are you doing?
Nans grabbed her arm.
We need to call Jack and tell him about this,
Lexi said.
Tell him about what? That we saw three people go into a building?
Lexi bit her lip. Nans had a point. Jack would probably just yell at her for meddling. And since Simone was one of the three people, that made it even stickier. Lexi didn't want it to appear as if she was trying to get Simone in trouble because she was jealous.
We need to get some hard evidence before we call in the police,
Helen said.
Right, Nan said, heading back to the car. Let's go back to my place and run those pictures through the internet and see what comes up.
Ruth didn't let Lexi drive on the way back, which was just as well, since Lexi's head was reeling with questions about Simone meeting with the thugs. What was she up to? Did Jack know about it? Back at Nan's, they gathered around her dining room table, while Nan's hooked the camera glasses to her computer with a USB cable. Lexi watched as she uploaded the pictures to the internet, then used a sophisticated online picture search to try to match the men in the photos to any pictures currently online.
Bingo!
Nan's turned to face them from her seat at the computer table. Her face was flushed with excitement as she pointed to an image on the screen. Ida walked over to the computer, bending down and squinting at the monitor.
These guys are definitely with organized crime, she announced. Looks like the fat one is called Louis the Finger. I wonder why that is,
Nans asked.
Here's an article on a restaurant hit that he was suspected in.
Lexi shivered despite the warm temperatures in Nans's condo. These guys were killers.
And the skinny one is Sal Torreo, Skinny Sal, Ida said. Let's run their names through the gun registry and see what they have for guns.
Nans worked the keyboard and a list came up on the screen.
Looks like Louis has a lot of guns, including a Colt 22 caliber.
Nan snapped her fingers.
Yep, this is our guy. Okay, so we can be reasonably sure they killed Nunzio. But why did they search his condo and Ruth's?
Ida asked.
And where do Barry and Simone fit into all this?
Helen added. Nan tapped her lips with her index finger.
That's a good question. Barry and Simone have opposite goals when it comes to the will. She would want it to be found, and he would want to destroy it.
So they probably aren't working together, Lexi said.
Right, but Simone is working with Louis and Sal.
Nans tapped Sal's face on the computer for emphasis. Yeah, and I wonder what they are up to. Lexi narrowed her eyes at the computer.
Well, they obviously have something inside that abandoned factory,
Nan said to Lexi.
I think you, me, and Ruth need to head on over there tomorrow and take a look while Helen and Ida do more research.
I don't know. That sounds pretty dangerous. Lexi's stomach clenched at the thought of poking around inside the old factory.
There's got to be a clue inside that we can give to the police. We'll wait until they leave and then just take a peek. We won't be but a few minutes. It will all be totally safe, I assure you. Can you pick us up at 8?
Lexi could see Nans was aiming her most honest, trustworthy look in her direction. But it did nothing to stop the butterflies from flapping around in her stomach. Everyone was looking at her expectantly, though, and she didn't want to seem wimpier than a bunch of old ladies. Plus, she knew Nance and Ruth would just go without her anyway, and she wanted to be there in case they got into trouble. Lexi let out a sigh. Okay, 8 o'clock it is, then.